This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Imagine a major election. All the polls are predicting a 4% loss, a 2% loss, a 6% loss. But the next day, you have a 9% win. That's not the Trump election. That's not Brexit. That's Bevin. That is Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. 1 year ago, an upset in Kentucky put him into office. And 1 year later, this week, we see another huge shift in Kentucky, as well as the USA. The governor of Kentucky will be on in a minute to talk about what he calls the seismic political shockwave this week. I'm Jerry Johnson, president of National Religious Broadcasters. I'm sitting in today for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. Right after the governor, we're going to ask you to call in. Are you a Trump voter? If you voted for Trump, I want you to call in. We're going to ask you what he should work on in the first 100 days. What do you hope Donald Trump will do in the first 100 days? You voted for President Trump, President-elect Trump. What do you want him to do the first 100 days? And later, some people are comparing Trump to Reagan. Is that a fair comparison? Is it an accurate comparison? We're going to talk to an old warhorse of the Reagan Revolution, Richard Viguerie. And we're going to ask him what happened and why in the Reagan Revolution and compare that to the Trump election. And then finally today, we're going to talk about this question. Can you be a Christian and work in Hollywood? You've heard of the movie God Is Not Dead. You've heard of the movie group Pure Flix. We're going to talk to the founder of Pure Flix about that question. But first, our guest is Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. He was elected governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky a year ago in a huge upset. I believe those polls before that election were 2% to 4%. He would lose the day of, and he won by over 9%. Incredible. And a year later, this week, for the first time in a century, the Republican Party has taken control of the state House of Representatives. The Kentucky governor has called this a seismic political shockwave. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin, welcome to the program. He's not on yet, so we'll hold for just a minute. But this is fascinating because I used to live in Kentucky, and we wanted to elect a Republican governor. We wanted pro-life policies for the House, for the Senate, and it just didn't happen. Election after election, year after year, we just couldn't get there. And then finally, they took the Senate and the governor's office and tried to enact pro-life legislation, a legislation that would protect the unborn, that would recognize the sanctity of innocent human life. But the Kentucky State House kept blocking, and it was controlled by the Democrats. And unfortunately, you know, the Democrat Party has been the party not really willing to protect the sanctity of innocent human life. They've been the party of Planned Parenthood, the party that protects Planned Parenthood. You'll remember in the debates, in the last debate for the presidency, Hillary Clinton actually went to the mat protecting a woman's right to abort even up to the ninth month. I mean, to the last moment when certainly the fetus, the baby would be viable, right up till the last moment. Hillary Clinton said, you know, there's a right to abort. So it's quite a development now in Kentucky. After years of trying to get the pro-life legislation through, The governor wants it. The Senate wants it. And now, with a pro-life, a Republican House in Kentucky, they should be able to achieve it. But I want you to start calling in. The number is 866-372-7234, because as I said earlier, we want Trump voters to call in. If you voted for Trump, what do you want him to do in the first 100 days? That's question one. The other question would be this. What do you think of these protesters? We've got protesters now in the major cities. They're, you know, they've got a First Amendment right to free speech, but they're smashing police cars, starting fires, blocking traffic. One woman, this has been played again and again on television the last day or two, says, you know, there will be casualties. There will be casualties on both sides. People have to die for this. And so what do you think of that? The number is 866-372-7234. Call in. 866-372-7234. The question, you voted for Trump. What do you want him to focus on in the first 100 days? We've got Gary on the line. Gary, thank you for calling. What's your view?
I just want the, I want him, the first thing I want him to do is put prayer back into the schools. And the when I was in school, we used to be able to read. The teacher used to be able to read scripture to us before we started our classes, and that's what I think should be done. Also, pro-life, protect life. Mm.
Well, thank you so much. I do think that pro-life issue became huge, particularly because of Hillary Clinton's position in the debate. You know, she was very clear. Earlier in the year, she said, actually, the unborn fetus, she said that person doesn't have a right to life. It was fascinating that she used the word person, but said that person doesn't have a right to life. And again, she argued for abortion really up to the very moment before birth. And Mr. Trump has at least made it clear that he's going to appoint a justice to the Supreme Court that will stay faithful to the Constitution, and that really means the abortion issue would go back to the states, and it would give the states an opportunity to outlaw this procedure. So I there's an opening, and he could do that in the first 100 days. I think that's an excellent point. And also, you mentioned freedom of religion, religious liberty. Our students should have that in the schools. Our teachers should have that in the schools. And I think that's a good point. We've got Mitch on the line. Mitch, what's your view? Mitch, I think, went off. Let's go to Sid from Texas. Sid, thank you for calling. What do you want Mr. Trump to do in the first 100 days, or what do you think about these protesters?
Hey, first, I just want to say thanks for taking my call. I am a Christian who's also a college student, pretty much right outside Austin, and I did hear about all the riots, and I was just, you know, pretty shaken up by it because I am black, and a lot of people like to think that Trump doesn't support people of color, regardless of your race, but I just want to say I do support him. And I definitely think he should secure our religious freedom and allow us to be able to stand on our morals and values and not be penalized through legalism. But yeah, just want to say that, and I'll hang up so you can make your comments. And God bless y'all.
Well, thank you so much for calling. You know, this religious liberty issue is huge. You know, I'm president of National Religious Broadcasters, and one of our mission points is to defend free speech. When you look at the First Amendment, you've got freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. That's really who we are at NRB. And we are concerned that private business owners are being forced to facilitate so-called same-sex marriages, whether they make cakes or take pictures or provide flowers. I mean, this is just very bad. Or they have a wedding chapel. And it is a violation of their First Amendment freedom to coerce or to force them to do a ceremony that they have a religious conviction against. So I do hope and pray that President Trump will appoint the right kind of Supreme Court justice. Thank you so much. We've got Don calling in. Don, thank you so much. What's your view?
Yeah, I think that President Trump to be should get rid of as many of the appointees that have been put in place by President Obama, and be certain to put in an excellent Supreme Court justice, which I think he will do. He's already got a list there. And I'm just real excited for those that he's got in his cabinet to help give him wisdom from their years of expertise, and that he does want to build those around him. And I do think that there should be excellence in the military as in readiness instead of social experimentation, which is just an ongoing work in the previous administration for the last 8 years. So I'm excited to see the changes, and that's what I would hope that he would be a part of doing.
Thank you, Don. You know, there's an old saying, personnel is policy. And so the president will not be running the country. He will be making 4,000 to 7,000 appointments. And you've heard about the transition team meeting this week. Breaking news today, Mike Pence, the vice president-elect, Mike Pence, has replaced Chris Christie as the leader of the transition team. I think that's very interesting for pro-life and pro-family, pro-marriage, pro-conservative movement folks out there, the kind of folks that are listening right now to this program. Actually, Mike Pence is a better representative of the pro-life view, the conservative view. And I think that's a very good development. But you're right, he's got to get these appointees right, and he's got to get the military right. The military doesn't need to be pushing a sexual agenda. The military needs to be pushing national security. They need to be attacking ISIS. They need to be guarding the border and so forth. So that's the job of the military. Again, it's not to be a social place of experimentation. That's not what it's about. So thank you so much for your calls. You know, we're going to try to get on the Kentucky governor in the next segment. His name is Matt Bevin. You know, it's just like being president. When you're governor, things can happen probably. And so we may have to wait till the next segment to get him on, but I'm confident we'll keep trying. Meanwhile, we've got your calls. We've got time for one quick call coming in. Teresa from Oklahoma, what do you want Mr. Trump to do in the first 100 days, Teresa?
I would love to see him just bring the abortion issue back to each state, because as a Christian, I personally believe abortion is murder. And we live here in Oklahoma, and it's a pretty red state. And I think our governor is, you know, let's face it, I think she has kind of leaned towards the okay for abortion because of all the special interest groups and all. But I think if it was brought back to the state, there would be more pressure put
good,
on
Teresa.
Each governor.
Very good.
You know, yes.
Thank you. And that's excellent. And that's true. That's the point of overturning Roe versus Wade. It puts it back to the states. And there are many states that would protect the sanctity of innocent human life. They would outlaw abortion. And the first 100 days, let's work, let's hope, let's pray. What do you want Mr. Trump to do in the first 100 days? The number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We hope to have the governor of Kentucky join us with you in the next segment. This is Jerry Johnson. You're listening to Washington Watch.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. And then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others. And that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we noticed with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
Back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Supported Mr. Trump by a ratio of 81% to 16%. Some people have said the religious right is dead or dying. I don't think so. I think that was a silly comment. Actually, evangelicals represented 26% of the entire electorate. That means about half of Mr. Trump's supporters. Evangelical leaders might have been divided over Mr. Trump, but evangelicals weren't. In the main, they voted for Mr. Trump. And we're asking you, if you voted for Mr. Trump, what do you want him to do in the first 100 days? The number is 866-372-7234. We've got callers on the line right now. I'm going to go right away to Joe. Joe from Virginia. Joe, what do you want Mr. Trump to do? And what do you think about these protesters?
Well, I think the protesters certainly are travesty, and we need to pray for the law enforcement people that are having to deal with that. But I would like to see Mr. Trump go before Congress in a speech and say, if you're involved in any kind of corruption or illegal activities, the whole weight of the United States government is going to come down on your head, and you will be treated as a criminal or as a illegal person that you are.
Is that a message for Hillary or just anybody? What are you thinking there?
No, I'm thinking about the whole U.S. government because corruption in our government is destroying the idea of people in this country that the government is right and doing what they should be doing.
Thank you, Joe, for calling in. Well, you know, when you read the Constitution, there's so many things the government does now that aren't even mentioned in the Constitution, but the primary thing the government's supposed to do in the Constitution is enforce the law and certainly to protect us from the evildoers here and abroad, when you know, national security. So I like what you say also about law enforcement. It's very important that we back the blue. And when we see these protesters, I'm reminded of Winston Churchill. He said, he's not neutral. He said, I'm not neutral in the conflict between the fire department and the fire. And so I always stand for the police and for the firemen. And, you know, I can understand protest, but not really after an election. I mean, really, protest is something you do when you don't have a voice or an outlet. You don't have a say. But we just had the election. Why would you protest right after everybody's voted? I mean, millions and millions of people have voted. And then you want to protest. Well, the day to protest was at the ballot box. They missed out. Okay, well, let's go now to Jamie. Jamie's been holding for a long time. Jamie, what do you think?
I would like him to safeguard our future elections by making strict penalties for anybody who's committing fraud, voter fraud.
Yeah, well, I think that's important, Jamie. Voter fraud prevention. The best way to stop this is ID. You know, the courts have said, oh, you know, voting is a fundamental right, and therefore you can't, you know, make it difficult. You can't make it inconvenient. And so you can't force people to have IDs. But, you know, traveling is a right. Buying and selling is a right. Going to school. But, I mean, you've got to show an ID to do all of that. You've got to show an ID to check into a hotel. It is not burdensome. It's not inconvenient if you fly to show your ID. And we should require everyone to show a photo ID. And that would stop a lot of the voter fraud. I think you're right. You know, we've dodged the bullet a few times here on voter fraud. But we better take care of this before the next election cycle. Thank you so much. Folks, we're talking about Trump. What do you want him to do in the first 100 days? Trump voters, we're asking you to call at 866-372-7234. This is Jerry Johnson filling in for Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. And on the line right now, we've got Starla from Louisiana. Starla, thank you for calling. What's your view?
Hi. I would like to see Mr. Trump have all of the protesters that are burning the flag and threatening him, those are both felonies, and I think they should all be arrested, first off. I think everyone that is here illegally should have no access to any type of benefits whatsoever that the American taxpayers work for.
Thank you, Starla. Well, I think you're going to see, on that last point, a change. You're going to see a change of tone. And, you know, I happen to believe, as a Christian, everyone's made in the image of God. I believe we should give food and water to those in need as Christians. Churches should do that. And I think, actually, a hospital, if someone is about to die or they've got a life-threatening emergency, a hospital could take care of them. But besides that, I think the government should have no role in passing out benefits to people who are illegally. No role at all. The government, the church might help out again with folks and if there's an emergency, but the government could do something. But in general, I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of people who are essentially leeching off the citizens here, and it's not a good thing. I think Mr. Trump has voiced a concern about that, and I think, you know, there should be an orderly way to change what's going on. But a lot of people are concerned about that. I mean, why would we, you know, I looked at some figures. You're talking about $18,000, $20,000, $40,000 of benefits going to these refugees when you've got the unemployed, you've got the homeless in America. We need to be taking care of our people. Absolutely. It's a very important point. Folks, we want you to call in. The number is 866-372-7234. Very quickly, we got Mark on the line from Kansas. Mark, what do you think?
Are you talking about Mark from Kansas?
We're talking about what you want Mr. Trump to do in the first 100 days.
I could barely hear you. I just wanted to tell you, I've worked two jobs my whole life. Right now, I've worked a job for 27 years. I own my own business. And when I think about what's critical, and I think the voice of the Trump voters is this insurance, this Obamacare,
all right,
been a total disaster.
We got to go off the air, but that's a great point, Mark. Repeal and replace Obamacare. And while we're at it, let's not pay for abortion with any federal health care dollars. I think that would be important, too. When we come back, some are comparing Mr. Trump to Ronald Reagan. We'll talk to a veteran of the Reagan Revolution. We'll take more of your calls. The number is 866-372-7234. This is Washington Watch. I'm Jerry Johnson, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We'll be right back.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, the headline this week seems to be this. Trump doesn't deserve the credit for the Dow rally. Okay, I can go along with that, that Trump doesn't deserve the rally, but I'll tell you what does deserve the rally. What deserves the rally is Trump's plan for the future of America. Some of you may remember me saying that it's not going to take years for legislation to trickle into the economy after it takes months to pass any kind of legislation that is going to be pro-growth. Just the mere idea that there is going to be a pro-growth environment, that there's going to be less regulation and lower taxes, is enough to stimulate the economy and begin to see growth. I said that there isn't going to be a lag, and there isn't going to be a lag. Why? Because there is so much penned up desire to get this economy moving by corporate America and other aspects of this economy, that just simply understanding that there will be change that is going to benefit them is going to be enough to be a driver to spur this economy. And I have to admit, I didn't expect to see it quite this soon, but I did know and talk about and write about the fact that it was going to happen long before any legislation is passed. So we are seeing the beginning of confidence coming back into this market.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Some people are comparing President-elect Trump to Ronald Reagan. With us to talk about it is a veteran of the Reagan Revolution, Richard Viguerie. He has written the book Takeover. He's the chairman of CHQ, and he's my friend. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Good to be with you, my friend Jerry. Let me just say that CHQ stands for conservativeheadquarters.com, and it's a site for the conservative movement. People who want to advance the conservative movement, this is the site totally dedicated to that.
Well, it's very interesting because, just as a side note, you get tremendous intel on this website, and you have an email blast that you send out. So I want to recommend that to the people. Conservativeheadquarters.com. In fact, you know, you just put out a piece called Personnel is Policy, and you were urging people to discourage the appointment of Chris Christie as Attorney General. And there's some breaking news today that I'd like you to comment on, because Chris Christie was replaced as the head of the transition team. He was replaced with the Vice President-elect Mike Pence. What do you think of that switch when you think of...
Oh, it is so important, Jerry, so important. We learned under the Reagan administration that personnel was policy. I was with Tony Perkins and Phyllis Schlafly and other great conservative leaders in Salt Lake City in 2007 and meeting with Mitt Romney. He goes around the room and says, Tony, what's your issue? And Gary Bauer, what's yours? Phyllis Schlafly, what's yours? And when he got to the end of the room, I was about the last person, and I said, all due respect to my friends, Governor Romney, they're all wrong, because nobody has talked about the most important issue, and the most important issue is personnel, because you can promise us the sun, the moon, the stars, and believe it, but if all that comes into the White House, if you were president, is captains of industry, Wall Street types, big business types. We've lost. Our issues are over with. And I thought he blew me off by talking about you got to have competent, qualified people. And I tell you, I don't think Donald Trump was your first candidate. He certainly wasn't mine. But I've just been nothing but pleasantly surprised. since he got the nomination with, you know, people like Mike Pence, Kellyanne Conway, Steve Bannon, David Bossie, Stephen Moore. This is us, Jerry. This is us running this campaign, and it looks like it's just continuing. Nothing but good news coming out of this new president-elect here.
Well, it's off to a great start, and you know that Supreme Court list of the wish list that he put together is a pretty good wish list too.
Absolutely, one of the exciting things that happens. For over 100 years, we've had a loose coalition in the Republican Party between the establishment Republicans and the grassroots constitutional conservatives. And we've been the junior partner in that relationship. We win occasionally, but not very often. Now, I think most of the leaders of this establishment, big government wing of the Republican Party has committed political suicide. They have disqualified themselves from having any role to play in the Republican Party going forward because they advocated the election of Hillary Clinton. The Bush family, Mitt Romney, John Kasich, other Republicans in name only. So going forward, we're going to have a new coalition, I think, and this new coalition is going to be the Trump populist and the constitutional grassroots conservatives like you and me. And I think this is going to be an exciting, next 4 years, maybe eight or more years. And it just, as a friend of ours, yours and mine, Bob McEwen, former congressman from Ohio, said yesterday, if you can't see the hand of God in this election, you're deaf, dumb, and blind.
Folks, we're listening to Richard Viguerie. This is Jerry Johnson filling in for Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. And I want to go under a statement that you made a moment ago, talking about the coalition, populism. The truth is, Mr. Dole lost the election. Mr. Romney lost the election. Mr. McCain lost the election. But Mr. Trump won the election. And I want to ask you, you've been watching these elections. You've been working in these elections for many years. Why did Donald Trump win? How did he win? Give us, in 2 or 3 minutes, your best analysis of that.
A great question, Jerry. As Rush Limbaugh has been saying the last couple of days, this great victory this past Tuesday, it was available to us in 2008. It was available in 2012. But we had big government Republicans who don't share our views and our values, and they did not bring a conservative message to the American people. The American people do not like big government Republicans. We lost the Congress in 2006 because the face of the opposition to the Democrats was people like Karl Rove and George Bush and John Boehner, Mitch McConnell. They don't like those people. And the same in 2008. We lost the election there.
Well, we're out of time, Richard. I hate this.
Okay,
we're out of time.
But people like the conservatives.
That's a great assessment. Thank you for your role in the
My
conservative
pleasure.
Movement. You've been a hero of mine. Americans owe you a debt of gratitude. Folks, Richard Viguerie, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Folks, when we come back, can you be a Christian? Can you be a Christian and work in Hollywood? We're going to talk to the founder of Pure Flicks. This is Jerry Johnson sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
AmericanFamilySociation.com.
Hi, this is Nelly Chikwanda from Zambia, Africa. I have been involved in Operation Christmas Child for over 10 years, and I never get tired of seeing our children in Zambia receive your shoebox gifts. Packing a shoebox is simple, and in the hands of God, it becomes a powerful tool. Thank you, and please keep packing these beautiful shoebox gifts.
Visit SamaritansPurse.org or call 800-809-3882.
Take a stand for your Christian faith this Christmas season by wearing and sharing AFA's new Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. Get one free when you stop by afa.net/Christmas. The wristbands come in packs of 10, so order several to give to your friends. Remember, when you request your free wristband and order more, you're keeping the American Family Association in the battle to restore Christian values in America. Visit afa.net/Christmas.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
The movies. I went to a movie last week. My wife and daughter are going to a movie tonight. And here's the question. We've seen a surge in Christian films, family films, faith-based films. And I think there's a real interest among Christians, particularly students. It's never been easier to film something with your phone or with a basic camera. And there are a lot of these young people very interested in film and breaking into film, maybe going to Hollywood. Can you, though, be a Christian and work in Hollywood? With us to talk about it is David White. He's the founder of Pure Flix and an actor and an author. He's written a book, Between Heaven and Hollywood, Chasing Your God-Given Dreams. Welcome to the program, David.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, David, just tell us your story and give us a little tease on this book. I mean, how did you end up? You didn't start out in Hollywood. How did you end up there?
I did not. I was from a little town outside of Dodge City, Kansas. I grew up as a Mennonite. My father was a Mennonite pastor. If you don't know anything about Mennonites, I always like to put it, the Mennonites make the Mormons look like a pack of Hell's Angels.
I grew up conservative. It's not the movie crowd anyway, is it?
It is not. In fact, I saw one movie just in the theater the first 18 years of my life. And so I was the last person on the planet that probably should have left, you know, what he knew growing up and moved to Hollywood. And that's why I wrote this book, Between Heaven and Hollywood, Chasing Your God-Given Dreams, because I think God puts dreams on each and every one of our hearts, and how do you take that writing on your hearts and turn it into the writing on the wall and live out your passion in an actual day-to-day world?
And you went to Hollywood, and, you know, I've actually heard this because, you know, at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, we have a film and entertainment summit. Actually, Pure Flix is a sponsor this year of NRB, so we're glad you're coming out again. And, you know, I've actually heard this before, though. You know, people very cautious about going to Hollywood, very cautious about sending young people to Hollywood. just kind of as a sidebar, how would you respond to that? You know, if film is your dream, your passion or your vision, you want to break into film, you think it's a good thing for folks to go to Hollywood?
Well, I went to the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois, where my entire family had gone, graduated, and met their significant others. And after 1 year, I called my parents and I said, parents, I want to leave Bible school and I want to go to Hollywood to be an actor.
And how'd that go over?
There was this long silence on the phone, and my father said something that I think is really the, I think all of us can say the same thing, is that he said, David, as long as you serve the Lord in whatever you do and keep him first and foremost, then we support you.
Mm.
And it was a very hard thing for my parents. My dad certainly had not approved Hollywood or what comes out of Hollywood. This is in the early 90s. And so it was a tough, and I was 19 years old as well. So that was a very tough thing. But I think it comes back down to, you know, what is the purpose? What is our purpose in life? How do we take those dreams? And if they're truly from the Lord or not, then I think you need to pursue them regardless of whatever they are, as long as they serve the Lord and keep him first and foremost.
And you talk about the someday myth. Would you just share with folks about the someday myth?
Well, I think we're riddled so often with fear and self-doubt in our lives. We want to accomplish something. We want to go after it. And we're afraid. And a lot of times there's reasons to be afraid, and there's reasons, you know, of why maybe you're doubting yourself. But and we start saying these things, well, someday I'll do this or someday I'll do that. And if you look into your calendar, someday doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. I know it's a simple way of looking at it, but if we keep saying this, well, someday I'll do that, then you will never accomplish it. You have to take those steps. You have to take the baby steps. You have to take a step out, even when it's uncomfortable.
Folks, this is Jerry Johnson. I'm filling in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Our guest is David White. He's the founder of PureFlix. He's written a book, Between Heaven and Hollywood, Chasing Your God-Given Dreams. I want to shift gears for just a moment, David. I've just read a piece here about you, you know, where you said, Hollywood forgets there's 150 million people who go to church. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it's interesting because over the years, when the Christian movies have come out and they do incredible numbers, Hollywood starts to say, well, we need to open up a faith division in our studios. And it happened after The Passion, and then that came up, and then they kind of forgot about it, and then they shut those divisions down, and then it happened again after the Sandra Bullock movie. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank. And then this last, in 2014, when God's Not Dead, Son of God, and Heaven is for Real came out, all three of them combined did over $250 million in the box office.
Yes, huge.
And Hollywood again started to take notice that, oh, wow, you know, that, you know, when those flyover states, you know, there's actually people who care about religion and they do care about faith and spirituality in the theaters. And maybe we should make a movie and put them in the theaters as well. And they forget that there is, you know, 150 million people that go to church at least once a month in our country, and that they've walked away a lot of times from that crowd and made what they want to make versus what is needed. And that's really where we created PureFlix years ago. And at the end of 2005, we myself and two other buddies had this little dream, this kernel of an idea inside of our hearts that we couldn't let go, and that was way beyond us. And it was to make films that uplift and inspire the human spirit, to provide an alternative to what Hollywood was putting out there on an ongoing basis. And that grew into what we have now as some of the, you know, the number one faith independent studio in the world.
Well, that's why we're so excited to have you at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Proclaim 17 Convention. Folks, it's in Orlando, and you can find The full schedule at nrb.org. That's NRB for National Religious Broadcasters.org. Actually, we're going to be showing, I think, one of your films out there, The Case for Christ, and very excited about that. We're going to have a film and entertainment summit. We're going to have a pitch-a-thon for people who've got scripts and so forth and plots and movie ideas. And we're going to talk about acting, producing, directing, production, distribution. There's so much to learn for folks that want to break into film. And, you know, we're so glad that PureFlix is part of the convention. And, you know, glad to see, really, the way Christian films and family films, faith films, have been breaking out. What's your next big project? What are you really excited about now?
I'm excited about so many different things. First, right now, a little over a year ago, we launched the division PureFlix.com, which is basically the faith family version of Netflix. Again, to give families an alternative to the content on these other platforms. And when you go to PureFlix.com, there's now over 5,000 titles. This year we had three different series, original content that we created for the platform. And one of the latest one is the Encounter. If you've seen the Encounter movies, a lot of people love those. There's two of them, Encounter and Karen Paradise Lost, and now we have the series, The Encounter. And you can check out the new episodes on there. There's also so much wonderful, just new original content coming. And then on the theatrical side, it's exciting. Case for Christ is our next theatrical that hits in March. And I think it's just it's such a beautiful movie, and it's going to be profound and ultimately lead people to the Lord all over the world.
Case for Christ. So, folks, this film, it's about a secular skeptic, agnostic, who decides to look into Christian sources and to debunk them, and something else happens, something he didn't expect. And actually, you just heard David say it's coming out in March, but actually, if you go to NRB, February 27 and 28, March 1 and 2, you can see this film. We're going to preview it there. And again, go to nrb.org. And your website, you said, is pureflix.com to get these movies. Is that right, pureflix.com?
That is correct. And then head on over to davidarwhite.com for all kinds of wonderful bonus materials with the book about how to chase your God-given dream. There's workbooks. There's all kinds of stuff. It's free. It's downloadable on there. And I just encourage people. You know, people always said, well, when are you going to write a book? And I didn't want to write a book just about my story. I really wanted to write a book that encouraged people that it's not just about me, but, you know, a dream deferred is not a dream denied, so God can bless you with a dream bigger than the one you ever had for yourself. He did it for me, and he can do it for you.
Well, that's a good word. The book, again, is Between Heaven and Hollywood, Chasing Your God-Given Dreams. David White, thank you for being with us. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, folks. This is Washington Watch. I'm Jerry Johnson filling in for Tony Perkins. What a week it's been, you know. Somehow we missed the governor of Kentucky. Unless he calls in the next minute or two, I don't think we're going to hear him. But I want to reflect. You know, I ask you to call in and ask what you thought of the protesters, what you thought of Mr. Trump's first 100 days. And, you know, for me, I want to say I echo some of the comments that we've heard. We definitely need to get the right people on the leadership team. I think the idea of personnel is policy certainly will determine the policy, will determine the execution of the policy. We've seen that with Eric Holder. We've seen that with Loretta Lynch. We've seen that with Mr. Comey. We've seen negative versions of that in the last 4 years, the last 8 years. What about Valerie Jarrett? You know, and so we want Mr. Trump to be surrounded by the right kind of people. And if you're a praying person, I think this is something you should be praying about, that pray that the Lord would give him wisdom, The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord to turn whichever way he wills. And I think this is the time. Many of you prayed very hard for this election. And I've just got to believe that, you know, there are a lot of demographics that explain this election. There are a lot of political trends that explain this election. But there seems to me to be a mystical quality to it. And I think God's in it. And, you know, he raises up leaders and he takes down leaders. We know the Bible says that. But in any case, my point is now we need to keep praying for the right kind of people to be given favor, the right kind of people to be appointed, and so forth. And I mentioned this earlier. It's very important that we have a proper understanding of the role of government. The government's role in the Bible is to bear the sword, and it's really to protect citizens from evildoers, evildoers at home. We think of protesters, we think of fire and threats to the police. Certainly we wouldn't want to push back on First Amendment freedoms of speech and assembly and press. But anarchy, threatening the police, talk of assassination, this is where the government needs to step in and to keep law, keep order, enforce justice. And so this is the role of government, the strong military, maintaining the border. The government is to be about law and order. That's what our Constitution says, too. Its primary function is security. And, we know these things from what's called general revelation in the Bible, or natural theology. Some people talk about it that way. And it simply means that nation states are a good thing, and the function of the government is to protect the security and the safety of the citizens, to make sure justice is enforced, and that is the role of government. Now, the role of the church is completely different. The role of the church is a grace role. It's a mercy role. It's a role for proclaiming the gospel. And I think a lot of evangelical leaders actually get these things confused. Every Christian, again, should give a cup of cold water, food to a hungry immigrant, whether they're legal or illegal. Share the gospel with them, try to win them to Christ, be friendly and so forth, and love. But the role of the government is not that. That's the role of the church. That's your role. That's my role. And we remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And our role is to love others, and the best way to love them is to give them that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard it for the first time today. You should look to Jesus, turn to Jesus, believe in Jesus. He died for our sins. He rose again. He is Savior. He is Lord. This is Jerry Johnson filling in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.